All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back, and that means we're really back because you're here, Ira. We missed you last podcast, even though you were there in recorded spirit. You weren't in your live, full glory, wearing your Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon shirt. How are you, Sage?
Doing well. The timing couldn't have been worse. Last week, the Bucks finally make some news in the world of a lot of Buck fans. More positive news, getting rid of McCoy and acquiring Sue. And meanwhile, where am I? I'm on the beach of Daytona Beach Shores over there. Yes, I did go in the ocean with a hat and sunglasses. And no, this time, it is not sailing off to Acapulco. I manage the waves. By the way, I don't know if I should be a spokesman for Daytona Beach Shores, but it's a hidden gem, gentlemen. Sousa Buck and McCoy is now on the Grand Tour. We talked to Bruce Arians. Lee, it's clear, if it wasn't clear before, and I think it was, besides what Sue brings physically, stout against the run. However, given that, the Rams couldn't stop the run last year with Aaron Donald and Sue lining up in the middle. I believe opponents averaged 5.1 yards per rush. That's a bad number.
And it's not like they don't have a good coach.
Yeah,
either.
So that's a bad number. But Sue has a reputation as a run stuffer, and McCoy doesn't. I think a negligible difference in terms of pass rush. But anyway, Arians talked about the factor of Sue in terms of nastiness. And I think that was part of his appeal to this organization.
No kidding.
I think they're looking for leaders on both sides of the ball.
So Gerald,
you don't want to put this kind of pressure on Devin White to be, everything. Even though they are, you know, you heard Arians. I think you might have been inside, but the other two of us were brave the 94 degree heat over there, the Kemper, and he talked about, he don't mind some of those penalties. He says don't hurt the team necessarily. But if everybody plays with that edge, it's all about the edge that Sue played. And nobody ever said that McCoy played with an edge.
Edge meaning personality.
Being nasty, being emotional. Physical, emotional.
Not edge as in the
you know.
And perimeter.
If Todd Bowles doesn't sign off on Sue, he's not a Buck. I mean, that's just the way things are right now.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's an Arians / Bowles operation, and that's just the way it is.
You know, that very well could be about Bowles. The only reason why I say this is, yesterday, Albert Breer, TheMMQB.com, who has excellent sources in the league, excellent sources. He comes out and says, are the Bucks, specifically the coaching staff, didn't want Gerald McCoy because he freelanced too much. Whoa. I don't know where he got that from. And my initial thought was someone in the building got a hold of Breer, knowing Breer's...
Oh, we didn't hear that during 9 years of McCoy playing for the Bucks.
Well, that's just right. That's why I think it's someone in this building. People know Breer's platform, which is huge, and they drop that in his lap. That's my interpretation of the Jets.
I don't like people pissing on Gerald McCoy now that he's out the door, Steve. I don't like it. It happens all the time. You know, franchises feel they got to protect themselves, and I don't know who they're trying to convince. I mean, most of the Buck fans that I see on our website, they're happy McCoy's gone. I don't really understand it, but that's just, you know, those are the facts.
Well, it cuts a couple of directions, Sage, but look, what's important is we're all here together. That was the voice of Lee DeCamper chiming in, talking about Albert Breer. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Of course, intern Zach will be firing away later in the podcast.
You called him Man Beast, intern, Steve.
He's been a Man Beast. That's a high honor. He's almost a Man Beast, I think I said. He's getting there, reaching Man Beast status.
There you go,
Sage. So look, listen, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ira, just west of 275 on Fletcher, right there, giant big showroom. We couldn't get you Friday to pick up that Cadillac before the holiday weekend, but we're going to schedule you very soon, Ira. I know you're very busy. We're supposed to be
Listeners know about this?
Well, we talked about a previous podcast.
Okay.
Soon,
right.
You're going to be outfitted in a Cadillac.
And that's not all. There's other things, too.
And there'll be other Cadillacs that you'll be driving just to see which ones you like. But right now, Ira, the offers are there. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. I know you love the crossover, the XT5, and all the Memorial Day sales. They end the end of May. So EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. And right there in Brandon, Ira, EdMorris Cadillac Brandon. What street is that again, Ira?
In Brandon? Causeway Boulevard,
absolutely.
My friend.
Causeway Boulevard.
So you got this 3 more days to take advantage of these opportunities, Stephen.
I don't know when anybody's listening, but you can take advantage immediately. Really, you just go to EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. You visit the website, and they don't have your face on there yet, Ira, but your face is going to be around town.
And many of our listeners drive down 275, and they may be in for a little bit of a surprise in the coming months. Don't drive off the road. Be hands on the wheel, DeCamper. at all times.
Is this going to be one of those digital billboards where you light up the sky?
That's in Steve's purview. I have nothing to do with it. All I'm interested in is, does it add any shekels to my check? And the answer is no at this point.
And June 20th, mark the calendar at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. You can come see the all-new Cadillac, the XT6. I don't know if we can get you one of those that fast. It's not out yet.
Well, at least get me in the showroom that day.
Available June 20th at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Food will be served, your favorite, from 5 to 7. Most likely we'll be confirming your attendance there, but that remains to be
you
seen.
You see his face light up when you said food?
Food. Right there, June 20th.
We're not talking cheese and crackers over here, Steve. I'm gonna, you know, and there will be a beet salad on the menu.
All the Cadillac parties are fantastic. And, of course, Ira, Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, the 2019 Cadillac XT4 Sport, $319 per month lease. Dealer has all the details, edmorescadillactampa.com.
That's why I need the Kemper as my agent. See, Lee, you could be an agent. You talk to agents, now you can be my agent.
Actually, I don't talk to that many agents. This is why. And this is inside baseball for our listeners. I don't like to talk to agents.
You don't like their agendas.
The truth and honesty is not a priority with them. Now, if I'm looking for a specific quote, I will talk to an agent. I'll give a perfect example here, and it's kind of fun inside baseball. I can't remember the agent's name, but it was LeGarrette Blount. And by the way, I've got an agent story to ask you about, Ira, that deals with current events with the Bucks. Anyway, LeGarrette Blount was involved years ago when he was with the Bucks in a real minor fender bender. A senior citizen, a lady, bumped him. It was very, very minor. They got out of the car, virtually no damage at all. Don't worry about it. Here's my contact information. Okay, fine. Away they go. They didn't want to have their insurance rates bumped, so they decided they'd just cuff up their own pocket and take care of it. Very minor. Well, I guess 2 or 3 months later, the lady didn't know LeGarrette Blount from a blunt. And so about 2 months later, 3 months later, someone tipped her off. This guy's a running back for the Buccaneers. He's got money. So she goes and hires her own legal counsel. And I called Blount's agent. I was looking for a specific quote. And I asked him initially, I said, this smells like a shakedown. And he kept talking and talking. And I said, this sounds like a shakedown. He kept talking and talking. And I'm like, man, if I didn't know any better, this would be a shakedown. He kept talking and talking. And then the fourth time I said, boy, this has got to be a shakedown. And the guy stopped. It is a shakedown. Boom, I had my quote.
See, you were persistent.
Steve, and that was the headline. So here's my question about agents with current events with the Bucs. There was a report out recently that Gerald McCoy had 10 different suitors, 10 different teams after him, some willing to pay him upwards of $10 million. Mike Florio, our good friend with ProFootballTalk.com, the creator, curator, and all overall guru, he basically said that is utter nonsense. He said whoever wrote that was getting used and played by an agent. And quote, this is Florio's quote, if 10 teams were after him, why the hell didn't the Bucks make a trade?
My instincts, Lee, tell me that the suggestion that there's a mad scramble for McCoy and people are willing to throw all kinds of money seems like a classic agent plant. That's what it seems like. And, Steve, you know better than anybody over the years that for the big guns in the industry, the Schefters, the Lock and Forers, guys like that. Agents play a significant role in churning up the news, and they want to stay on good terms because agents know what's going on in this league better than anybody. And you know, they drop things on these guys, and the guys ends up with a scoop, but then they carry water for the agent's clients. That's the way the game's played, has been for a long time. And I think our listeners need to know that.
What do you make of that Florio said, if there were that many teams after McCoy, why didn't the Bucks make a trade?
Well, that's Florio getting to the heart of the matter, and he's one of the best at doing it. He cuts through things. His legal background really helps him in that regard. Yeah. Look at him on the latest Bucks thing with the BP thing, where they got rebuked. Florio's all over it. Yeah. He's all over it. He reads the briefs. He knows what it means. He puts it in context.
He's excellent at taking legalese and turning it into vernacular.
And that's not easy.
No, it's not.
I wouldn't mind hearing him discourse on the Mueller report. He could boil 420 pages down to about a page and a half. He's good at it, and that's the reason why, and you were there when he was just starting out, Steve.
All right, enough of Florio. The heck with him. He was bugging me all Sunday night.
He was bugging you.
He was bugging you Sunday night?
Monday night. I was bugging him.
Sue's going to be in the house later this week.
Looks like he's going to show up on Thursday. Arian said, we'll see.
Little Air France flight back from Paris. Why not?
After be a French Open with a lady. That's your dream date, Ira, right there. Roland Garros.
Looked like he had a heck of a seat, too, over there, Lee.
He can afford it.
Yeah, he's watching Nadal play from a second row vantage point. I'm over there. I'm probably outside watching on a big screen. I can't even get in the building.
All right. I'm going to shift gears here, Ira. I saw you out of the corner of my eye talking to Levante David one-on-one for quite a while after practice. Poor guy sweating his butt off. And there's
he thought he was going to get into the room. He one more stride, he would have been inside. And I said, LD, hold up.
Well, what can you share?
I asked him about a specific Buck player, Ronald Jones. Mm. And I will be writing about Mr. Jones later this week. I wanted to get Levante David's thoughts on Jones's brutal, and I use that word very specifically. You can't have a more brutal rookie season than Ronald Jones. You can't do it.
Unless you're injured, like Geis.
You know, what was the number? 1.9? 1.9. I mean, that's unbelievable.
It's invisible.
You can't do it. No, nobody can do that. I've written it. It's the worst number of any running back that had at least, 20 carries.
Ooh.
Worse than the league. But I did say this to Levante. I said, to be fair, and Ronald Jones, and I had already talked to Jones, and he wasn't a bad gabber. I got him in a good mood. I guess he's having a very good camp. At least Jameis thinks so.
I was going to ask you about that.
I think Arians does too. So, to be fair to Jones, and we got to be fair, I think he only carried the ball 23 times. That's a very, very low total for a guy that was a second-round pick. I swear that at least on half of those carries, there were three guys on him before he took the first step. I don't know what it was, but when Ronald Jones carried the ball, the blocking was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Now, part of that could be bad timing on Ronald Jones' part in terms of when he's getting the ball, his footwork. That could be part of it because blocking is all about timing. So Levante goes, no, he never made any excuses about blocking. He never used it. His confidence is up. Jameis says his confidence is up. I think the guy... You know, Buck fans are looking for reasons to be optimistic. And I wrote the other day, and I'm sticking with it, Steve, 95% of the any optimism that Buck fans have about this team is based on the coaching staff.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's dangerous. I think that's dangerous. It's not based on personnel. It's not based on off-season moves. It's based on a belief that the coaching staff's going to be a lot better.
Ira, what about the Shaq mob? You don't buy into those people?
Are they pro Shaq or down on Shaq?
All right, go ahead. Come on.
Well, I happen to think Shaq was a good pickup. I think that's going to turn out to be one of Light's success stories, unless you want to subscribe it to Bulls and Arians, which you might. But anyway, I think another reason is if Ronald Jones can do some of the things that they expected out of him a year ago with a different coaching staff, I think it can make a big difference. Ronald Jones could make a big difference. Can he break off a 35-yard run, Lee? Can he catch a screen pass and go 28 yards when it's 3rd and 11? Where is the screen pass, Lee? We haven't seen it. Cutter was masterful at it in 2015. All of a sudden, he becomes a head coach, and he throws that page out of the playbook?
Apparently.
I think it's a very effective play for teams that do it well, like the Packers always do it well. The Saints do it well.
Oh, very well.
Why can't we see a screen pass? Answer me over there.
I'm going to pull you back to my darn question, Ira. What did Levante tell David
Levante
give you?
David said Ronald Jones looks like a totally different player. I didn't ask Levante David about the new defensive scheme. Next time I talk to David, I'll ask him that question. But I had something very specific in mind. He says Ronald Jones looks like a different player. He acts like a different player. And in the words of Lee DeKemper, it's underwear football. Let's take it easy.
You notice when you asked Jameis to comment about Ronald Jones, did you see him light up?
Yes, I did.
I mean, his personality, just like someone flipped the light switch. He was just over the top excited.
And part of that is Jameis Winston realizing, Zach, I'm addressing you on this. Damn, I haven't had a running game in 3 years. Can I get a running game? I'm in 3rd and 8 all the time. And Ronald Jones talked about that. He says, we got to be in 3rd and 2. That's what good teams do. We haven't seen that around here. That's got to change.
That's an excellent point, that Jameis probably is excited that he sees a glimmer of a running game.
A component of an offense which we haven't seen since my man Charles Sims was running wild, Steve, running wild, 2015.
All right.
Boy, does that seem like a long time ago, Zach? Oh, man.
It seems like an awfully long time ago. And in the NFL world, it is a long time ago. So.
Bad football.
And by the way, speaking of screens, Sims was very good at it that year.
Yeah.
Very good at it.
He had a great year, Ira. Get over it.
Yeah,
come
get
on.
Over it. Get over it.
Maybe you could track him down. You know what? He was like best buddies with Donovan Smith. And I'm sure if you ask Donovan for his number, you want to do a full feature on the life and times of Charles Smith, he'd probably give you his number.
Coach looked all pumped up today, Steve. He looked all pumped up.
He was
up.
Feisty. I asked him about Tom Moore, and he said that's his bitch guy.
Yeah.
I think
bitch,
he said.
Bitch coach.
Bitch coach, yeah, where he needs a coach to bitch to. Arians, probably with a lot of sincerity to it, said, I need a guy who is old enough where he's not going to run back to his wife and say, oh, you know, the coach is chewing me out, bitching at me, and then wants to change his
career. And also has, forgotten more football than I've ever learned.
Wants a career change. So now he can let it loose to Tom Moore.
Wait, didn't you talk to Tom Moore a little bit? What?
Briefly. He does not know if he's allowed to talk on the record.
Oh, okay.
So, and he doesn't know me from the man on the moon. You know, first time we ever met.
Well, he's going to be here through training camp, right?
Oh, Ira, I thought you were going to say, man, when I was 80, I talked on the record all the time.
Didn't I follow up your question, Steve, by asking Arians? Coach, is it true that the reason Tom Moore's in this building is that you can feel like a teenager around here?
Yeah.
I got to laugh at him.
Do you like
Arians.
That?
Yeah, I got to laugh at him.
But, yeah, Moore said that, he told me, he goes, check with the Bucks. If they allow me to talk, I'll talk
to
you.
I don't see why the Bucks should put a muzzle on Tom Moore.
I think Lee asked Jameis about Tom Moore.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that Moore has had one-on-one time with Jameis. Versus just sort of overseeing and passing on. That means that Jameis has four voices in his ear. Four!
You know we got to start talking about that.
That's
we
unique.
Too many cooks
I'm not
in the
saying
kitchen.
It's bad. It may be great, but that is difficult for a guy learning a new offense. Now, I talked to Blaine Gabbert today for a long time.
Uh-oh.
And that was a...
God bless you, Steve.
That was a colossal, almost a colossal waste of time. I was trying to get stuff out of him. I mean, he was wonderful to talk to, but... Very polished in coach speak, player speak, but he did talk about the difficulty of the offense and learning curve involved. And Gabbert himself said this is the first time he's ever been in year two of any offense anywhere in
really?
His entire career.
Not even with Cutter.
Not even with Cutter, no.
Wow.
So this is a first for Gabbert where he's like, I feel so darn comfortable. And he talked a little bit about what Jameis is going through, but. So you forget, Jameis is learning a new offense, and he's got four dudes in his ear. And they're all credible in different ways. That's just tough, Ira.
You can really look at that two ways. You really can. He's hearing, he's getting different perspectives. Maybe that's a positive. But, Lee, there's a flip side to that. And, you know, Jameis is a guy standing at the crossroads. You're standing at the crossroads, and you're getting four crossroads of your career. You know, whether they're going to commit a whole bunch of money. Not that he's not making a whole lot of money in 2019, but you're talking about a $140 million contract or whatever. The going rate for a franchise quarterback if they decide to go in that way. Lee, four guys whispering in your ear, all saying slightly different things. That can be difficult.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is if four guys are telling you, and we don't know if it's different things, but four guys are in your ear, which one, you know, sooner or later you're going to say to yourself, I'm listening to one and the rest is noise. Who is he listening
to? Arians is the quarterback whisperer. Let's remember that, Steve, according to the book he wrote.
I am not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's challenging to manage that. And I think generally when you have four people in your ear, whatever your profession is, you're going to go to the one that you like the most. Like this guy tells me to do it this way, and that's the way I like to do it. So I'll listen to that guy.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing for Arians.
You would think
to
they'll all be on the same page.
Well, yeah,
you would think that.
I just think Arians has never had to manage this before, right? Where has he had all these people in his quarterback's ear? He was either the play caller himself, and I wish him luck with it. It should be a fun thing to watch evolve. Now, look, Tom Moore might leave during the regular season. Arians implied that.
That's right.
And for all we know, Arians could take over play calling and change his mind, and things could tighten up. But it's interesting, Sage. Got to ask you this. What do you make of
Perryman?
Ira, what do you make of Arians, you know, saying that Hargraves dropped a pick and he sort of went out of his way to say, I'm leaning on him. We can't tolerate that. And he's going to hear it more from me. You know, given what happened in the last couple of weeks with Hargraves, it seems like coaches wants everybody to know that I'm really leaning on this guy. You have any thoughts?
I think he's kind of a pet project with Arians. he wants to resurrect the guy's career, and resurrect's a tough word for a guy that's not really a proven pro. Lee, he wasn't bad as a rookie. He wasn't bad. He was okay, Hargraves. He stayed healthy. Last year was a total wipeout. And he wasn't very good the second year in the league. I think he took a step back.
Yes.
Just like I think Justin Evans took a step back in year
All
two.
Those defensive backs took a step back.
It seems like I think Arians knows how important Hargraves could be to this team. I think he realizes it. If he thought Hargraves was the fifth defensive back, the fifth cornerback, he's not chewing his ass out like he did. He's not mentioning Hargraves like he does. I think Hargraves, in his mind, is a key player. And it's hard to believe, Lee, but he's almost a veteran in the secondary, and that's
is.
A problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah, you're right on both accounts. I'm of the mind, if Arians thought Hargraves was either a nickel corner or a fifth corner, he wouldn't be here. With his salary, he wouldn't be here. That's my take on that.
Now, Light would fight that tooth and nail up in the executive suite. He'd make a strong case to keep Hargraves.
I don't know.
You don't want to dump a first-round pick.
Dump a first-round pick, but it's pretty clear Arians is calling the shots.
Yeah.
And Arians is throwing his weight around. And Light knows that if this team doesn't win this year, he's on real thin ice.
Ira, the good folks can rewind this podcast and find out that you were talking about the Bulls-Arians decision-making. That's how you started this podcast with Sue. You didn't even mention the general manager.
No, I didn't.
And meanwhile, last year at this time, he was an all-powerful general manager. It's figurehead status at this point.
Empowered by the Glazers. They said it on the record. We are empowering Jason Light. His power increased quite a bit during the Dirk Cutter era. It was depressed during the Lovie Smith. You've made that point many times, Lee. Be careful about judging Light during the Lovie Smith era in free agency and even the draft. You and I disagree on some of those picks, like Anthony Collins. I'm not going to chalk that up to Lovie Smith, but we don't know for sure, Lee. We don't know for sure some of those big mistakes. Michael Johnson, I would lean more towards Lovie Smith, but anyway.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Steve, you're right. I didn't mention Jason Light. I see him out there on the field. I'm not saying the guy's a figurehead. He's not. He's got input, but we know whose show this is. And I don't think Arians comes out of retirement without having that kind of clout.
I think
you're
right.
It's got to be understood.
You know, just like you said, if Lovie didn't have full control, he wouldn't have been here. And I think the same you could say for Arians. He wouldn't have come out of retirement to be, you know, someone's, to use your phrase, carrying someone's water.
And Steve, you know, I mentioned, and again, this is a theme that I don't think is going to go away all summer long. Banking on better coaching to fuel any fans' optimism. And the last time I think Buck fans felt this way about, they didn't feel this way about Dirk Cutter coming in,
no.
I don't think, because he had no proven track record. But Lovie Smith, remember the fanfare. And
the first 100 days.
You know.
Remember that feature?
And I was talking to Fred Goodall from AP. He's been covering this team even longer than I have. And he mentioned something about the
happy
the
90th to Fred. Oh, go ahead.
The promotional thrust of the Buck organization is also geared to the coaching staff. This is the excitement that's trying to build for the 2019 Bucks is like, how many division titles have these coaches won together? Very interesting marketing theory. I don't think a lot of teams do it necessarily with geared towards the coaching staff, Steve. This one is all geared toward this 89-man staff that Arians has put together. And I keep throwing that in, and people say, I hope they don't take me seriously. I'm picking numbers out of my butt. But I think it's 29. I think 29 is the real number. That's a humongous staff.
Yeah, it is. From the marketing standpoint, what else they got to market? You're going to market a quarterback who half the town wants to run out of town?
You're going to market Earl Watford?
You're going to market Vernon Hargraves, who, yeah. There again, half the team wants to run out of town? You're
going
to market Ronald Jones?
Maybe Devin White.
Well, they have done that.
They could take a marketing slant on the receivers. Godwin, Evans, O.J. Howard.
Evans,
that's a nice triumvirate there of aerial assault kind of thing. They could have some fun
with
that.
I hope they're not putting too much pressure on Devin White. I hope.
Well, it's inevitable.
Yeah, Steve and I were talking about that from the moment he was drafted, that they're going to put too much pressure. Steve used the phrase, you know, the guy's going to have to play like Superman for this defense, turn things around. Here's another one about the defense. Now, I'm not a big fan of this guy, but I give the devil his due. This guy, the last couple of years, he's been very unkind to the Bucks, but his predictions, or he gets hacked off when people say that, his projections, that's another story. Over the last couple of years have been terrible for the Bucks, terrible for Winston. He's been more right than he's wrong. And, you know, there was a 24-hour window before Sue came after McCoy left, and I missed this. Otherwise, I would have wrote it up. He put out on Twitter.
Who are you talking
Mike
about?
Clay. Mike Clay of ESPN. Okay. Mike Clay of ESPN. He's one of these number geeks. You know, everyone's got to have a damn number.
You actually missed something, DeKemper? You don't miss much.
This is one of the rare times I missed this. And he put it on, he put it on ESPN. I don't know if he put it on Twitter. He put it on ESPN. And he said, in that 24-hour window, after McCoy and before Sue, he said, without McCoy, this is the worst defense in the NFL.
Again, Steve, it's up to the coaches. It's up to the coaches. I'll give you an example. I wrote this the other day, Steve. You read the story. The offensive line has come back basically intact. You know, the Earl of Watford is not supposed to make a significant difference.
Have you talked to him yet?
I have not talked to him, but I'm going to call him the Earl of Watford. And,
I love that.
He didn't start for the Browns last year. Zero starts. Zero.
Well, before we get carried away, there's so many Buck fans out here that are hoisting Carl Nassib as next Howie Long, and he couldn't even stay on the freaking Browns roster.
I understand, but there's been other years when I don't think Watford started his first 2 years under Arians in Arizona. It took him 3 years to get a starting job. Anyway, my point is the O-line's coming back intact. Again, it's up to these coaches. Joe Gilbert, are you a miracle worker? Now, let me throw this out, Lee, and it's an important point.
We work miracles
in the an important right. point, Steve. If you got the right guy, and I don't know if Gilbert's the right guy, but that guy in New England, I can't even pronounce
his name. All right,
Skarnecki. I'm telling you guys. You can't name an offensive lineman from New England. They change all the time. Sony Michel, he's okay. He's not Adrian Peterson in his prime. He's okay. And yet they ran all over everybody in the postseason. They killed my Chiefs. They killed the Chargers. They ran for like $1.50 in the first half, both games. Dominated the game. Took big leads at halftime. Game over. How do they do it? How do they do it? So coaching does matter. The question is, is Joe Gilbert the next Dante Skarnecki?
Whenever you bring up Skarnecki, why do I think of Reservoir Dogs? Which, by the way, is one
hell
of the most
of a movie.
See, I thought that was a horrible movie. See,
now, the first scene is tremendous, having breakfast around that table. When Steve Buscemi says, I don't tip. What do you mean you don't tip? I don't tip. See, you got
to
watch the
I'll
movie
I'll have to
just
watch
for
it
that.
Again. But to me, that was like a blood and guts movie. Gore.
Well,
I just didn't like it at
it's
all.
It's no Pulp Fiction, I'll tell you that.
I mean, where
it's
they
no
torture the cop. I just thought that movie was terrible.
Don't you like the blood and guts stuff,
no.
Really? Right.
But here's my Joe Gilbert line. You were asking, is Joe Gilbert a miracle worker? And some may suggest he's already demonstrated that. His offensive line in Indianapolis was so horrible, it's a miracle that Andrew Luck was not maimed.
Now, he's been at, I think, was he at Arizona the last couple of years? Gilbert,
University of Arizona.
Yeah,
University. Vaunted program.
Last year, yeah. We won't even go there. We'll see what they look like, Sage, when they can actually put some pads on. Your Sage wisdom is needed, not just for Zach, who's got some questions for you coming up, and he's becoming a man beast, so I'm sure the questions will be even tighter. Ira, we're watching practice there. You're busy talking, but you're watching a little bit. Two questions for you. One is serious, one is more media kind of stuff. The Buccaneers' defensive backs, very lively, very active, very athletic, getting their hands on balls. Does it mean anything this time of year?
Very little. Very little. We'll watch training camp closely. Zach, I hope you're here in training camp for at least part of it before you got to go back up to Gville. When the pads come on, which is usually day three, then things get interesting. I want to see Mike Edwards in the slot, you know, against O.J. Howard. I want to see it. Right now, you know, underwear football, Lee, we've been through this. Oh, this guy looks good May 28th, you know.
August 28th, he's looking for a job.
Yeah, August 28th, he's looking for a job. Well said, Lee. So the answer is no.
Okay.
Do not read
into
OTA.
Well, the fans read reports. They want to know if it means anything. And I just had to ask you. Now, the other part is, Ira, look. We're here. They allow us into some of the OTAs to cover the team, and they don't allow us on the side of the field. And you got all the players lined up sort of blocking the view intentionally of the media. They could line up. They have four sides to line up on. They line up on the side that blocks our view. What do you think of that? Was it always like that going years back? Well, what's your take on all of that?
Well,
because that affects what the fans know.
Are you assuming it's deliberate, or you know for a fact that it's deliberate?
What do you mean? How could it not be deliberate? They see where the media is standing, and the players are.
You think obviously, is that a player decision, or it's coming down from above?
I'm asking you. I don't think it's a player decision. They're told where to stand.
I do think it makes it harder to see what's going on. It does. I mean, guys are standing on chairs. Media guys are standing on chairs. Lee, I'm glad you didn't try that because I'd be right under you to catch it because you do a half gainer within 6 seconds off that chair. But, Steve, if it happens in training camp, then I'd be upset. Right now, like you said, I'm doing 75% gabbing, and I'm letting Zach chart the plays, and he does a heck of a job.
Was it like that under Gruden? Out to a spring practice,
I don't believe it was. And of course, training camp was in Disney. For the Gruden years. But no, I don't remember having to see over the players during OTAs, during past administrations.
You mentioned Fred Goodall earlier, and great guy. He had told me during Dungy's reign, reporters could walk anywhere they wanted. They had the full, wherever you wanted to go. So if they did have guys lined up on the goal line, which is what they're doing now, or the end line, reporters could walk to the side.
Didn't they let us in training camp walk all over the field last year?
Cutter did.
The training camp's a different animal. Okay. You can go all around, and that's
fine.
You can
watch the O-line in the corner over there. Yeah.
You can see quite a bit. And, yeah, they let us around the other side. But it's for spring practice, it's a little odd. I don't know.
Cutter let us walk around in spring practice, if I remember right.
I believe so, at least most of the time. And I remember one year under Lovie, they opened everything up, every practice. And Lovie was talking about, unprecedented access. And I don't know. It's just a little strange.
Steve, I'm going to ask Arians this. It can't hurt to ask. And he might be a guy that might even think about it. Would it be so terrible to bring the media in once a month during the season? No lunch for a film session?
I remember once an engagement with no lunch.
No lunch. I think Arians would think about it. Some coaches have done it. I'm gonna ask Arians.
Now, didn't Raheem do that?
Yes, I believe he did. I'm gonna promise Arians a new 7-iron. we're gonna gather up. Zach's gonna chip in a buck and a quarter. We're gonna get him a new 7-iron if he. I think it's useful for our jobs. I really do. I think it helps us understand what they're trying to do.
In the cynical eye that I have, the team could do that with the express purpose of getting their message out.
Okay. Then it's up to us to decipher, filter it through. I would like to see a film breakdown from Arian's point of view.
Well, I heard that initially Gerald McCoy was getting hammered by beat reporters here at One Buck at the time. I did not have credentials. And Raheem walked up to a couple guys like, if I show you some game film, will you finally start believing that McCoy's doing X, Y, and Z? And like, well, let's show the film. And Raheem brought him in the office and was breaking down film, showing what McCoy was doing.
Did he look like he was freelancing, Mr. DeKemper?
I was not there. I cannot say.
There you go.
All right, Sage. Of course, the podcast is there for everybody at Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Joe Bucks Fan.
Am I bumped off the 50, Steve?
I haven't checked, Ira.
Okay.
Actually, I haven't checked. Been busy.
But I've been popping up. I have been popping up on there.
All right, Sage. Calm down.
Look out, Nancy.
Let's let everybody know. We'll be back out here Friday. They are going to let us watch practice. Perhaps we'll be in a hot air balloon to get in all the action. And that's Friday. And we'll be recording after that practice. We'll have some new stuff. And then we'll let that podcast go on Friday night or Saturday. And so everybody can be current.
What do you think these guys' reaction would be if we brought a drone out here with a video camera on? Seriously.
Oh, it'd be beautiful.
Yeah, they get mad. It's like, well, wait a minute. These guys are blocking our view. But then again, at that point
they'd
in practice.
They'd make a call to McDill. Shoot that thing out of the sky.
At that point in practice, I just thought of it. At that point in practice, no video or photos are allowed. So, of course.
And, Steve, it's worth mentioning that next week, mandatory mini camp. And then the guys are gone. 6-7 weeks, gone.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that point. All right, we got Sage Intern, right? Intern of the Sage. Sage Intern, we'll call him. Sage Intern. Zach Seifter. Zach's got some questions for you, Ira. Sit up straight. Give some wisdom here. Come on, Ira. Give it your best shot.
Let me get my shoulders loose over here.
All right, Sage. I got a couple of questions for you today. Not too much, but the first one is related to JPP. Do you think a final decision has been made on him whether or not he sticks around for this season?
No. Zach, you read the site. You know what I wrote 2 weeks ago. I take no pleasure in it, but I would have released JPP. I don't question his resilience. You know, he's already proven how tough he is, but fractured neck, so it's a whole nother animal. It looks like they're taking a wait-and-see approach. All I got to base this on is Arian's talking about a 5 or 6 month injury. It puts it in November. Buck season could be over by then. How effective could he be? He's not going to snap into attention within 3 days. What kind of football shape is he going to be? I think it's wait and see. They know how much he means. Let's be honest. 12 sacks last year. He was the main guy up front. He occupied blockers. People game plan for him. They're willing to take a wait and see approach, Zach. I think if they had turned the corner on him, we'd have already known it. And not only would they have tried to save the money that's still out there, I think they might have went after the $7.5 million that was guaranteed in March. And I think they had a chance, a credible chance, to make a case to reclaim that money. So the fact they haven't done that, I think they're going to stick with JPP and take their chances. I wouldn't do it, but that's the Buck decision.
Mm. Now, you're a movie guy, right?
I'm a movie guy.
Going to the movies. I'm a Disney person, so I already went and saw it. Have you gone out and seen the new Aladdin movie yet?
We went to the movies Saturday. We walked out on a movie. We never walk out on a movie. It's called Booksmart. Got all these great reviews. It's about a couple of high school girls that are going to graduate the next day. Walked out. Walked out, Zach, 45 minutes. We never do that. Writing, sophomoric, horrible. And every time I looked, people are filing into Aladdin. It's playing in like 4 different theaters. People are walking out saying it was fantastic.
I personally loved it. I thought it was great.
You know, maybe I should stick to Disney movies over there, Lee. I'm getting jaded by these Hollywood productions. And a true story. We got to the theater a half an hour early before Booksmart started. So what do? We do what everybody else does. We go into another theater and watch a half an hour of another movie. Well, this other movie was just starting. John Wick Part 3. That's the one with Keanu Reeves playing a guy that's a spy or something. Well, anyway, we watched it for about 20 minutes. 4 guys were knifed in the head. One guy took a hatchet to his forehead, and another guy had his eye gouged out by a knife in excruciating close-up. Walked out of that one, too. 2 movies, walked out twice, the Kemper. I might as well go to Aladdin next week. Well, what else has Disney got coming down the pike? I never go to a Disney movie, but... You know, Zach might be my lead guy from now on.
Will Smith does a great job. He was fantastic.
Oh, man. Will I sit through Aladdin or will I walk out?
I personally think you'll sit through it. I don't know. Are you a Disney person?
Is McCoy in the movie? Is there a cameo from a buck?
Mm-mm.
No Sue, no McCoy? All right. I'll give it a shot.
I really like these highbrow movies.
Mm. I do like these highbrow movies and nobody ever goes.
Yeah, it's for the elitists. It's not for the proletariat.
I'm over there looking for Meryl Streep and there's 4 people in the theater. I don't know. I'm looking at the Avengers, and it's playing in 9 out of the 18 theaters.
I think I've only seen...
I'm out of touch, DeCamper.
I think, yeah, and not that I'm a big movie goer, but I think I've only seen Meryl Streep in one movie. What was that Vietnam War movie?
It was the classic one with De Niro.
Yeah,
1979. Now, how come... My memory's going, Zach.
It wasn't Hamburger Hill.
Michael Cimino. Zach, I want to know the name of that movie.
I have no idea.
Deer Hunter.
The Deer Hunter, absolutely.
I saw that, and when I first saw it, back when it came out, thought it was tremendous. I saw it again last summer, popped on TV. I was about ready to hit my head against the wall. It was so boring.
Well, it was famous for the Russian roulette scene.
Yeah, in Vietnam.
Yeah, where you take the revolver and you spin the thing around, and they're putting money down about whether you're going to shoot yourself in the head. Russian roulette. Very harrowing scene.
Yeah,
it was.
But I remember when that movie first came out, I thought it was fantastic. And then when I haven't seen it for 25, 30 years, and I saw it again on TV, and I was like bored to tears. Like, this is boring.
Until Swaggy Baker shows up in a Disney movie, I'm not going.
Disney's rolling them out, though, this summer. I think they have like five of them. They already had Avengers Endgame because they own the Avengers.
Or something.
That was a few years ago.
Oh, this might be part 2.
But they had the Avengers Endgame already come out. They just had Aladdin. They got the Lion King coming out later.
Look at Zach.
Toy Story 4, and then the new Spider-Man.
Oh. I think one of the rare movies, Ira and I both, obviously The Godfather, we adore.
Over there watching a movie about Winston Churchill. This guy's all over Disney.
Well, you're another one. I like that Winston Churchill movie, too. And I was going to say, was it 7 Years a Slave? I thought that
12 years of slavery.
12 years. Brilliant.
You docked him 5 years, DeKemper.
Brilliant movie.
All right, Ira, I'm going to have Zach say goodbye to you.
See you, Sage. Thanks for, I guess, the advice this time.
Catch you later in a week, Zach.
Catch you later. We'll be back Friday.
All right, Ira, you got to get with it, man. You got to get with the young modern movies, Ira. You got to hang more with Zach. You got to, you know, you got to step into 2002. You got to at least get that for
you. I'm in a time warp, guys.
We were talking to him the other day. Steve, come on, about Back to School. Ira had no clue that Sam Kinison was in there. Come on.
And I'm still throwing things out on Twitter, and you see it. On this date in music, 1973, Led Zeppelin did that. I got your attention on a couple of Led Zeppelin things over there. Yeah,
I sent you some, too.
Yeah, you did.
All right, Ira.
Classic rock's still where it is, Zach. You know, your generation, your Ariana Grande, forget that nonsense. Taylor Swift, forget that. Forget the rappers. You got to go back to the 60s. That's the golden age, Zach, the golden age. You got the Doors, Cream, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, the Beatles, the Stones. That's the time of your life over there, baby. That's great music. Am I wrong, DeKemper?
I got to say, though, Janis Joplin's no Ariana Grande.
Well, no, but, you know, the Birds. Yeah, exactly. It's fantastic music.
You and the Birds.
Zach,
the Birds,
it's for the Birds. It's too funny that they're not saying Grande. It's a, you got to let it go. You got to let it go.
You know,
I got Zach
like
laughing.
Darryl Revis.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Darrell. Hey, Ira, just in case you were wondering, you know, I do have a demographics program with Joe Bucks fan. Just about 60% of our readers are under 44, so you got to remember that, Ira.
I guess I'm appealing to the minority over here, Lee.
You're appealing to the people in a nursing home who don't know any better to read us.
All right, Ira, 2 months, not even, till training camp, and here we are. We've been watching this team. We finally got to hear Jameis Winston, got to feel his energy a little bit. He loves everybody, of course. He's right out of John Gruden. But who, of course, the Raiders signed Richie Incognito today. How about
Saw that?
Can you imagine those two guys in a room talking? Richie,
what
just...
a locker room the Raiders are going to have. What a locker
Antonio
room.
Antonio Brown.
Woo. Oh, what a locker room. And he, you know what?
And who's that nutcase from the Bengals, dirtiest player in football?
Yeah, but perfect. He's there.
Yeah.
Doug Martin still, you know, slinking around.
All right. We got through 7 days of OTAs, Ira. Where do you leave Buck fans today? I don't want to hear any ridiculous JPP stuff.
I'll tell you I'll tell you where you are. There's a lot of enthusiasm here. Now, having said that, and I'm looking at Lee, and he's going to nod his head, there's always enthusiasm on May 28th at One Buck Place, as there is in Buffalo right now. But guys seem jazzed up. Now, you know, Jameis Winston could be at the bottom of a well trying to get out, and he can't get out, and he'd be jazzed up. He'd have energy. That's just the way Jameis is built. But everybody seems to be juiced, in the favorite word of Steve Isbitz. There's a lot of juice around here. They ain't lost a game yet. They haven't suffered an injury yet on field. And that's the way things are right now, Steve. So why should we piss on that?
Ira, I'm going to circle back here. We talked about what Jameis had to say about Ronald Jones. But one word Jameis used that really caught my attention in talking about Ronald Jones, how things are different for him, confidence. That jumped out at me.
Absolutely.
Like, it was almost like the coaching staff gave up on Ronald Jones.
No, nobody needed a more of a fresh start than Ronald Jones. Nobody. And he's got one.
All right, get out of here, Ira. Get a new shirt, get a shower. We'll see you Friday.